Yep.
Amitai Isaacs from IBM will speak on CTDDB and beyond.
Okay. So those who attended yesterday morning's session, I'm one of the first ones to raise hands for John's question. So this is my first Samba XP. I'm glad to be here and meet the rest of the Samba team. Okay, so I'm going to talk about CTDB, what's been happening in CTDB of late, what are the plans for the future, and we'll see how we go. Okay, when I started working on CTDB last year, I had, few doubts whether I should be really working on CTDB. Okay, now this is one slide. I put it just from more from historic perspective. I guess most of you would know what CTDB is. If you don't know, this is one slide which sort of explains why CTDB exists. Okay, so the motivation was you want to run clustered Samba. The few of the issues involved are you want to have multiple nodes active at the same time. Obviously, you want communication between the nodes so that whenever there is failover, you want to do something special. And plus the share Samba databases between nodes. So we need a way to somehow share those databases in some fashion. So what was realized is CTDB, or the clustered version of TDB. So it has volatile and persistent databases. They operate slightly differently. We support IP failover and load balancing. And we do services monitoring. So that's, in a nutshell, what CTDB is. If you want more information, there is a website. It's not quite rich in documentation. So that was sort of the first task which I had after I took over maintainership from Ronnie last year, is see if we can improve the documentation either on the website or on Samba Wiki. Now, if you ever looked at the CTDB documentation on Samba Wiki, you will find that it does a very good job of capturing the history of what led to the design of CTDB in the current form, but it sort of stops soon after that. So what has happened in last 2 or 3 years is not at all mentioned. There might be few things which changed over time, so few course corrections. All those are, again, not mentioned. So yes, so that's something on my agenda to do, is to fix the documentation. Okay. Now, the first time I actually cloned Git tree of CTDB, this is what I found. It has lots of branches. And they look like not really the true branches, but sort of for each release there seems to be a branch. Okay, well, by the time I got around to figuring out which branches are relevant and what goes in which branch, I found out that there are very few branches which are actually active and relevant. So a few of the branches of importance are 1.0.114, which is maintained by Cernet, mainly Michael Adam. And Ronnie used to maintain few branches which are more recent are 1.2.39, 1.2.40, and 1.13. Don't ask me the numbering. Why this particular numbering? Okay, that's a mystery. And if you sort of look at the history of the current, so what's been happening on these branches? So it sort of gives you an overview of where the development has happened in last year or so. So you can see most of the development has actually happened on 1.2.40 branch. So now that's the branch which IBM uses internally to for its testing and for performance improvements and stuff like that. There was a 1.13 branch, Okay, so the first release in 1.13 branch is 1.13. Sometime down the line, it changed to 1.40. And so the latest version in that branch is 1.44, which was supposed to be the stable branch as published by Ronnie. Yes, so after getting my head around these idiosyncrasies, I decided, you know, first thing I want to do is get rid of this mess, start clean. So we decided to abandon all the old numbering schemes and start with 2.0. So the vertical line sort of indicates when I took over from Ronnie. And we did a first 2.0 release in November last year. And then, guess what? In December, Samba released 4.0. Okay, so now I'll just sort of, yeah.
Where is 1.0.114 on that chart?
Okay, because I don't maintain it, I didn't mention it. If you want more details on 1.0.114, you can ask Michael Adam.
I can do that, but I can also see here. We've got all this, we've got this. When do we merge those? When do we bring it all together and do something that we can call CTDB?
Right. So one of the things we all, which I also followed is, so 1.44 was the sort of stable release as released by Ronnie. Now, a lot of the patches in that branch were missing from the master. Okay. So first thing we did is merge everything that is in 1.13 stable branch back into master. So master became up to date with all the patches. Then we did a bunch of work on 1.2.40, which are, I'll talk about the performance improvements. We forward ported that to master. So when we release 2.0, our goal is to always make sure master has everything. So sort of, you know, Samba tree, following the Samba tradition. So master has everything, and we might now branch off at any point depending on, you know, when IBM takes certain version or whatever bug fixes release or something. So 2.0 has everything, 2.1 has everything, 2.2, whenever it's released, which I'm already late, will have everything which all the other branches have. And as far as I know, that's what even Michael Adam is doing. Anything which he wants to port to 1.0.114, we make sure it's in its upstream first, and then it's ported to 1.0.114. So you can't go wrong if you choose master. Not really. Well, I'm sort of jumping guns here right now. Okay, but I'll quickly make a point that any branch other than master branch doesn't have integrated test suite. So it's the master branch which is the most tested. All the other branches are not. Well, they are tested independently, but they are not tested with the built-in test suite. Okay, so. So I sort of covered most of this. So 2.0, there were 147 patches since 1.44. Many of them actually were things which were missing in the master from 1.13 branch. Some of the changes, sort of I started dabbling in locking, so those were the changes in few sort of building and packaging corrections I made so that we can easily do a tarball release, and then the version which you build using a tarball is the correct version. Apparently, it was not. So Samba released 4.0.0 in December, and it broke CTDB. it didn't work with 2.0. So we had to do a quick release in January of 2.1, which made sure that the Samba 4 DB wrap code is now compatible again with CTDB. So we have introduced one new tunable if you want to use the latest CTDB code with Samba 3.6. 2.2, I was hoping I would do before coming for Samba XP, but we didn't manage. There are quite a few patches, quite a few of performance improvements lots of bug fixes, which some of which have already gone in, some of which will go in due course, and hopefully I should be able to release 2.2 by end of this month. Okay. Just to sort of give you an idea of what sort of community is involved in CTDB, not too many developers. So this is sort of contributions in last year, and this is what has happened since January this year. So actively, it's Martin and I'm doing the development, and there are some work which happens periodically from Cernet guys. Okay, so let's quickly jump into what we have done so far. So the most important things are the bug fixes. Okay, there were some crucial bug fixes which Michael Adam found, and bugs found and then fixed by Michael again and Mats. I have not really mentioned what the structure of CTDB is, but so we have volatile databases and persistent databases. So persistent databases are the ones where whenever you do any transaction, it's on all the nodes, and volatile is sort of, you know, only one node will have the latest copy of a particular record. And whenever there is a failure or some event which causes one of the nodes to go down, we go through a database recovery operation where it sort of collects information from all the nodes and then makes sense out of it and then pushes to all the nodes. So there are a few issues where a certain sequence of events could lead to a resurrection of deleted records. So that happened for persistent databases, that happened for non-persistent or volatile databases. And now we use a special process called vacuuming to actually clean the deleted records. We don't delete a record immediately once Samba is done with it. So when Samba deletes a record, that record is actually marked for deleted in CTDB, and we clear the data stored for that record. But that record as a TDB record doesn't go away till the vacuuming kicks in. So there are a few rest conditions with vacuuming and recovery happening, and that again can cause some database corruption. So these are the important bug fixes in last few months. And so yes, you should use. So Michael has already released a new version on 1.0.114 branch, which includes these bug fixes. And 2.2 will also have those bug fixes. Then there are other few bugs which are not as critical, but yes, they still cause problems when running CTDB. So one of them was there's a race condition when you try to execute some other event with the monitor event. So when they clash, there is a finite amount of probability that it might not exactly work the way it's supposed to. So that's been fixed. And the surprise one was the last one. When Ganesha guys started using and started testing the latest version, they realized that the static callout script which we use for sort of making sure that CTDB is aware of NFS connections, that is broken in RHEL 6. The reason for that is RHEL 5 ran statd as root, so all the statd callout program was also run as root, which was fine till RHEL 6, where they switched it to running it as RPC user, and we had to run the statd callout script as root because it needs to get to the CTDB socket, and so that's been broken for a long time, and nobody noticed it. Good question. The most of the problem is because the integration testing is hard with CTDB, because we need hardware, extra hardware to actually do the testing or do build some clusters or whatever to do the proper cluster testing. And that takes a while. Okay. So I'll talk about testing, so maybe we can come back to this issue. Okay. So what are the new features? So some of them look very trivial. Is the init script of CTDB, when you did service CTDB status, actually use CTDB ping command to find out whether CTDB is alive or not. And that can cause some issues because CTDB ping command actually talks to CTDB, and in a heavy load situation, it's possible that your command can time out and then you will get wrong results. This would end up in marking that node unhealthy for unnecessarily, and then cause cause the cluster to go through recovery. So simple thing was adding the PID file support. So now we generate PID file and make sure that the PID exists just like everybody else does on Linux system. The other thing was when CTDB starts up, it fires lots of timed events. So you start monitoring, you start doing a health check, you start making sure that all the critical daemons like recovery daemon is alive. So so lots of things triggers. And we notice that on a busy system, on a loaded system, when you restart CTDB, some of the events can sort of happen simultaneously. So this causes some problem in the initialization. So we introduce run states. So now we can actually serialize the whole startup process. And as you see, it goes from one run state to another run state. It can never go back. So whenever it changes run state, it's always forward. There are a few minor improvements in the tool. So one of them I would mention here is we had a getlog command, which basically gets the log stored in the ring buffer. Now that only did it from the main daemon and not from the recovery daemon. So we added an option to recover the logs from recovery daemon. So I did some work on the locking, where now if there is a deadlock, and we did have a few deadlock conditions before I joined. So we actually added the code to detect if there is a deadlock and do some action. Okay. Now this is the interesting stuff. So late last year, we started looking at the performance of CTDB and Samba. And so we sort of started testing with about 5,000 SMB connections on one node, which is fairly fairly powerful node with maybe 16 cores, two threads, 48 gigs of RAM. So reasonably powerful machine. Now CTDB was consuming 100% of CPU as the number of connections ramped up. And after running for a while, not too long, it would cause out of memory condition and the node would just crash. That was fun. Okay, so the things which we did were, first was the stress on CTDB found out that, well, we are not very good in handling socket IO. We read the 4 bytes to figure out what is the length of the data which is following, and then read that much data. So we sort of, we have an extra read operation. So yes, so we improved that. Then every time it read data, it used talloc realloc to sort of resize the buffers and things like that. So a lot of improvements there. So that sort of handled some of the overhead in processing sockets. The main cause of out of memory condition was when it crashed, we sort of captured the state, and we noticed there were about 800 or so CTDB processes using up lots and lots of memory. Now, why is that? The way CDDB works is that if CDDB wants to lock a record, which is right now, which it knows that it is locked by some other process, then it doesn't, so it finds out that, yes, it's going to block if it tries to lock that record. So it creates a child process and offloads the locking process to that child process, and then child process can block forever till it gets a lock and then notify once the lock is obtained. So currently, CTDB can support up to 200 such lock wait child processes per database. So that sort of explains why there were about 800 processes. Still, what is not clear is why it was taking so much memory. So looking at perf output, we found out that whenever there are a large number of CTDB processes, the actual memory taken by process may not be big because it's copy on write. So after fork, it may not copy everything. But it was using up to 16 gigabytes of memory just in page tables. Right, so that means there are something, you know, it's a large, CTDB has, you know, maintains a lot of information, and when we fork, we're just copying all the pages required to store that information. So and the biggest chunk was the ring buffer, the log, yep.
Have you tried linking with a different malloc, say Google's TC malloc?
Yep.
And did that help?
No. Because this is, okay, maybe I have not tried exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, because normally you get this problem because glibc's malloc is touching pages when you're doing allocations of the child.
Right, but we are talking about even the pre, we are not doing any allocation in the child, really. We just fork. So and that process of forking creates the copy of a page table. Now that page table itself was taking 16 gigs of memory, the total, not the actual process's memory. Right, exactly. So and where the pages are coming from, they are coming from this ring buffer, which we have a large ring buffer in CTDB as used in SONAS. The first thing we did is, okay, whenever you create a child process, free the ring buffer so that it doesn't. So that's still not right, because you're still going to copy the page tables and then free them.
Yeah.
But at least it gets you a little better. So I'll sort of mention the last point. So then what we did is, instead of doing just fork and executing a function, we started doing vfork and then execute a helper process. So that improved things considerably. The memory footprint dropped considerably. Then there are a few things like we have linked lists to maintain message handlers, so they were replaced, and they were consuming up to 60% of CTDB CPU time, so replaced with hash table. There are some changes done by Mets on T event to handle lots of zero time well events. So that was sort of triggered from the CTDB performance thing. Okay. Oops. Okay. So I'll quickly mention the testing because that's important, and I spend a lot of time with working with Martin and trying to get this testing infrastructure cleaned out so we can easily run tests. So right now we have a bunch of test suites. There are unit test suites and integration test suites. So each of the unit test suite tests the particular aspect of CTDB. Then we have simple and complex integration tests. Simple can be run on the local cluster, local daemons, as was where we have seen it in action in the previous presentation. And the complex tests require real cluster. So you spend some time making sure that you can, so a developer can do mech test and at least do some sort of testing. And so it doesn't require root access. It runs all the unit test suites and simple test suite. So the basic environment is that it runs three CTDB daemons locally, and you know it has very simple event script, but you can test most of the algorithms in CTDB using the local daemons. This is the test runner which Gregor was using, and this sort of tells you how to run the tests. So you run the test specifying which is the temporary area, and either you can give a test suite name or a individual test. Now the interesting thing we have is that the simple test suite has a bunch of tests, you know, start with number like 00. The first test it does, which actually does the setup. So it actually sets up three daemons. And the last test which we do is the cleanup or shutdown test. So 99 daemon shutdown actually shuts down everything. So when we run the test suite, it starts up, goes through all the tests, and then cleans up. Now, another important thing is that all this happens from within the source tree. So you don't have to install anything. You just do, you know, autogen, configure, make, and do make test. But once you have installed CTDB on a cluster, then you can run the test using CTDB run cluster test, which does the cluster specific test, and run test, which runs unit tests and simple tests. Okay, so how do we actually do this testing locally? So we use AutoCluster. Those of you have heard of AutoCluster, it's a large bash script which wraps KVM virtual machines and allows us to quickly create clusters. So the motivation is having disposable clusters. We don't want to maintain real clusters. They are messy to maintain, they bit rot. Also, you're always short of extra hardware for running clusters. So what we do is we create virtual clusters. So AutoCluster does that. And there are four basic steps. So you choose your configuration. So you specify what sort of IP ranges and stuff, how many nodes your cluster will have, what sort of base image it'll use. So you can specify whether it's a, currently it's tested for RHEL distribution. So which version of RHEL you want to build the image on. And then you create the base image where it actually creates a virtual machine, installs a specified version of RHEL, and then that becomes the base image. Now that takes usually some time, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, depending on what sort of template you have chosen for your base image. Once that is done, then you can create four node, six node cluster in the step three in 5 minutes, and then boot it, and then you're ready to go. You destroy it, start with step three again. So you can, once the step two is done, three and four are very, very cheap operations. So you can done them as many times. So we actually have built a sort of auto-build system for CTDB back in Australia, where we test multiple branches of CTDB, built it with Samba, and do some testing. For those of you interested, there is a Git repo which has been under development, but it's pretty robust, and we can actually use to create quick clusters. Okay, so now we come to what's happening next. So spending some time looking at the performance improvements which we did, we realized that CTDB daemon does too many things in one daemon. It does things like database operations, which are, which you want very low latency, which you want very fast. And then it does things like IP failover, which can take up to 20 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever, you know. So we try to handle events which are of different time scale in the same daemon. And that has some interesting issues when looking at how much timeout should be there for various events and things like that. So the best solution is to separate these low latency things, and they can be offloaded, they can be reprogrammed in, need not be in C, they can be done in any of your your favorite scripting language, because they are not time critical things. They can be done in shell script, they can be done in Python, whatever. The other most important thing is we don't have a proper library yet. So right now, the way Samba uses CTDB is it completely implements the protocol handling between CTDB and Samba in Samba. So we have two implementations of the protocol, one inside CTDB when it talks between daemons, and one implementation in Samba where it's completely different. So we want to make sure that we have a proper library, and we sort of take that code from Samba and then use it maybe in more places, maybe Ganesha. So the issues there are, how do you do it thread safe? Because CTDB code and the Samba version of the library code both use talloc and tevent. So there might be some interesting issues trying to create some few abstractions required to run the library. Also, if you have looked at the way CTDB protocol works, there is no formalization anywhere. We just write structures directly on wire. So it's hard maintaining version numbers or figuring out whether we are using the right protocol is hard. So we want to do some sort of version tracking, do some automated code marshaling, code generation, something like what Piddle does, or So we definitely want to do that. Scalability is another big issue. So when you have, so right now we are testing with few nodes, 5 nodes, 10 nodes maybe. But if you have hundreds of nodes, then scalability can become an issue. The two areas where we would need some work is database recovery. So as I mentioned, we collect databases from multiple nodes during recovery and then do something. Now, if you have hundreds of nodes, that operation is going to take time. And when you are running on with a large load, there can be record contention. So some of the records might be hot, and then as you add more and more nodes, the performance will actually go down. So we need some new algorithms to take care of contention. And the last one is really brilliant. Because many people do their own monitoring. Many people have different solutions for for failover. So why should we force our solution on them? Other solutions might be better. They might be better suited for different operations. So we want to have some sort of pluggable architecture where we can throw away what we do as IP failover and service monitoring, and then completely offload it to some third-party HA solution. So yes, it's on the chart, but that's way out there, unless somebody really wants to take up. Okay, so I'm just going to sort of quickly give you an example of how would when we split the code, how would it look like? So we did a prototyping for logging daemon. So we formalize the protocol. It's a simple text protocol. So we know we can debug it very easily. And then you can write, once you define your protocol, then it's very easy to write client and server libraries and implementation. So we have done a protocol implementation in Python and a client running in shell script using NC. So something like this. So we want to formalize many of the external operations like this, and then abstract them, define the protocol, and then you implement in whichever fashion you want. Okay. And I come to the last slide, where are we going as a project? Now there has been a discussion on Samba team mailing list about whether CTDB should really merge back into Samba tree. There are many reasons for it. First of all, it's an offshoot of Samba project. It uses many of the libraries which are used by Samba. So in fact, we duplicate Talloc TDBT event. So we maintain a local copy. For whatever reason it was done, it makes building very easy. You don't have to extract a Samba tree and then use the libraries from there or install development versions on your machine. You can just take the CTDB source and build it, irrespective of whether you have TDBT event Talloc installed on your machine or not. And plus, we didn't have any formal release process. So one way would be if we merge, then we can leverage of Samba's release process, and then that sort of relieves the very few developers there are to do actual work and not get involved in the release stuff. Yeah, so that's basically what I wanted to talk about in CTDB, just give you a flavor of what's been happening, what we are doing, and what our plans are. So thanks for your attention, and if you have any questions, I can.
So if you go back two slides.
Oops. Testing or give
one
me some.
More. Go ahead, one there, next one. Next one, where is it? Keep going. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go to the end again and go back two from the end, sorry. There, that's the one.
Okay.
You proper CTDB library, thread safe, avoid Talloc and T-event, et cetera, and yet at the same time, the next slide talks about how you're tied to T-event and Talloc and all these other pieces.
The server uses Talloc and T-event. Mm-hmm. But we can still write a library which is free of Talloc and T-event. So that's what I mean. Library can be Talloc. If you want to do a thread safe library, then it has to be done without Talloc and T-event.
Right. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I want to use CTDB with a different cluster file system, and I vividly remember the. Yeah, you shake. That sounds good. I vividly remember the email Ronnie sent back in March. If you're not using this particular cluster file,
you can say it is GPFS. Well.
Yeah. And it seems to me that what we want is to go two directions. One is to go back into the Samba tree so that it can be part of Samba and build from there. But the other is to take it away from the Samba tree so it can stand on its own and be built into other tools and other projects. So I see a conflict in direction here. And I'd like you to comment on that, if you would.
I don't see the conflict. I mean, I understand your point, but I don't see the conflict. Even if it is part of Samba tree, we can still have a library, which is, for that matter, we can have two sets of libraries. One which is for use for Samba, which uses Talloc and T-event, and one which is a library which is used by, external projects which don't want to use Talloc and T-event, or which want thread safety, or whatever reason. So. It's possible. It's a lot more work because now you have to maintain two sets of two libraries.
Well, I guess my concern comes from Ronnie's comment, which is that for a long time CTDB has really been developed in the framework of GPFS, and for those of us who work
well,
it isn't. For those of us who have worked with GFS, GFS2,
yep.
And Gluster. Okay, I mean, I thought it was part of the conversation, but all right.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'll make one statement. The issue is nothing to do with CTDB. It's something to do with the way locking works. So CTDB is not directly involved. So you, as long as you have a POSIX locking file system, it will work. Okay, we'll take it offline. Yeah.
Okay, just a very quick comment here. The library we are talking about is towards the use of CTDB, not towards the file system. And CTDB has very little specific things to do with the file system,
exactly.
Actually none. And may I suggest, if many people of you are here tomorrow, we have this bar camp and we can have a whole CTDB clustering BOF kind of thing and sit together. So no more questions from me. Tom, you had a question?
I did. I was really surprised on the wish list that there's nothing about performance. Are you happy with performance or is there nothing to do?
Performance is ongoing. It's not on the
wish
list.
Well, it's always ongoing, but it's not even on your list.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, this is something which performance we look at every day when we're looking at testing, In fact, since beginning of this year, I've been mostly working on performance issues. So that's going to continue for a while. So it's not on the wish list because we are doing it right now.
Are you looking for more just specific performance benchmark performance goals that you don't see on the wish list?
I'd like to know what the cluster scaling goal is, what the cluster availability story is, how does it deploy, how well does it run, what applications can it support given its current performance? I don't know. I didn't hear you talk about it. I just wanted to.
Yeah, as I mentioned, well, CTDB motivation was to run clustered SAMBA. So as long right. So I'm very restrictive to the way we are using CTDB with SAMBA. Currently, there are no projects which have even shown interest in using CTDB. Well, Ganesha is starting to look at interest. Maybe there are other projects which want to.
So Tommy, the file system performance is completely orthogonal to the CTDB performance. I mean, yes, they're related, but it's not.
All right.
Every day they're grinding away trying to make CTDB faster, but if you end up having a slow clustered file system behind it, nothing's going to help you. So, the file system guys have to fix their performance, but the CTDB guys are doing what they can on their performance. But, I mean, that's always an ongoing. There's no... It's like the default state is make it faster. Very rarely do we write those things down.
Just ask a totally naive question.
Yeah.
We usually use 3 or 4 nodes or 5 nodes. So we have, we have actual real clusters built with 5 nodes, or even sometimes the largest one I think is 8 or 10 nodes. I don't remember. But these are like massive nodes.
We have 1 with 32.
Okay. Yeah. I was not aware of that. Yeah.
Okay. I think maybe now is a good time to take it offline because we do want to have a break. Thank you very much, Amitai.
Yep. You're welcome.